You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone.
As kids head back to school, attention is usually on the academics, teachers planning the first lessons and parents making sure students haven't lost too much ground over the summer. But a new study draws attention to an often overlooked part of the school day, and that's recess. It turns out that little break after lunch, on average, is responsible for a quarter of kids' daytime physical activity. But not all students are taking advantage of that opportunity. And this new work points to two things that can boost activity levels during recess. That's giving kids more time and, surprisingly, getting adults more involved. William Massey is assistant professor of Oregon State University and lead author of that study. William, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Why should we worry about how much activity kids are getting during recess? I mean, if kids want to stand around and chat with their friends, why not?
So one of the things that we see is that the more active children are, whether it's during the school day, whether it's at home, you know, during just regular playtime, really the more their brains are primed to learn. It helps to regulate their emotional and behavioral responses. We see in a lot of research that play and physical activity are really important for child development. And so when we think about the social and emotional skills that children need to be successful, physical activity becomes really a prime avenue to reach those goals.
Given that, what would an ideal recess look like to you?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think one that we have been wrestling with a little bit, thinking about what an ideal recess looks like. And so we actually published another paper recently that examines kind of quality indicators of recess. And so we've dubbed it the Great Recess Framework. And so there's a couple of components. One, we would want to look at the safety and structure of the environment. So a lot of the work that I do is particularly around schools in low-income and under-resourced areas. And so first, we want to look at the structure of the environment. You know, do kids have a space to play? Is it safe? Is it free of hazards like glass and other objects on the playground? Do they have green space to play with? Is there actually equipment, either fixed or free equipment, jump ropes, balls, things to play with? And so that's an important part of the environment that we want to consider is, you know, whether or not kids have access to space, that space is safe and they have things to do in there. One of the other indicators we look at are the student behaviors themselves. And so along with, are they being active? Are they engaged in play? Are they being inclusive? Are they able to navigate and initiate games and play themselves without adult intervention? Are they able to problem solve conflict, to resolve conflict? Or is there high levels of conflict, whether it's physical or verbal on the playground? A third area, and one that this particular study that we're talking about really points to, is adult engagement and supervision. And so, you know, are there, first of all, is there supervision on the playground? Are there adults to make sure that the area is space, or that, I'm sorry, the area is safe for children to play in? But we also look at how engaged they are. So are they promoting a positive climate? Are they modeling engagement in physical activity and play? Are they modeling appropriate conflict resolution skills? Are they supporting the students' needs where they might have some skill development areas? And then the last area we look at, and we think about this really important for transitioning back into learning, are those transition periods. You know, are kids leaving recess in a way in which, you know, it's a little bit more calm and orderly, and they're ready to re-engage in the classroom? Or is it more chaos, everybody kind of running their own ways, maybe fighting, hitting, pushing, shoving? And so how does that transition look back into the school, into the classroom? And has recess really provided an opportunity for kids to prime their brains to be ready to learn?
If you look around at American schools now, do we have a sense of how American schools measure up to your ideal recess?
Not quite. We are. It's something that we're working on. I think there are different places. You might get into some philosophical differences about what people feel recess should be, particularly around the adult engagement piece of it. And so, you know, I think that when we look at that adult engagement piece, that people can kind of take both sides on, and some people might say, well, you know, recess is a time that kids should just be doing whatever they want, and that's their time, and the adults should stay out of it. We're not saying that adults should be out there telling kids what to do at recess, but the key and the ideal is that they're engaged, that they're interacting with the children, that they themselves are having fun. We certainly know that there's benefits for adults to engage in play. We know that when children and adults and children and caregivers interact in play, it changes the nature of the relationship, and it helps build a stronger bond. And so, you know, really we can see recess as an extension of the learning environment.
I can certainly say from personal experience that the teachers who play soccer or, you know, lead the football game or whatever on the playground are some of my kids' favorite teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, we see that a lot. I think if we think about the kids on the playground who might be at risk for one reason or another, maybe they're children who have experienced high levels of trauma within their life outside of school. Recess can be quite an intimidating and unsafe space for them. And what will often happen is that they'll completely disengage. And you know, that's one thing that we want to avoid. When you have a teacher who's playing with the kids, more kids just inherently flock to that teacher, to those games.
One interesting thing that you point out in this study is that activity levels at recess are lower for girls than it is for boys. Can adult involvement help close that gap?
Yeah, so that's a really common finding, that boys are just more active than girls at recess. The study here suggests that adult involvement is one thing that can get girls more involved. There's additional research that really looks at you know, hierarchies on the playground and how social cliques get formed on the playground. You know, and there's a lot of evidence to point to if teachers are involved and some of those hierarchies are flattened, then girls become more active. You know, so I think it's creating an environment where girls can play alongside boys, and we create space where there's enough opportunity for children to play if they choose to.
The other factor that your study points to in increasing activity levels, and I have to say I found this maybe a little surprising, was a longer recess. Now, obviously, the longer they're out there, the more steps they're going to take. But it also kind of seems like if you know you only have 20 minutes, you might go for broke, whereas if you know you have an hour, you might lounge around a little bit more. How long are you talking about, and how much longer than the average recess are you talking about extending it in order to increase activity levels?
That's a good point, and it's something that we weren't necessarily expecting to see. I think there's a couple things to keep in mind. One, the range of recess times in this study was fairly small. I believe it was somewhere between like 20 and 30 minutes. The legislation that's been coming out in a couple of different states recently has really been advocating for a 30-minute recess per day for children, you know, and that's consistent with kind of the upper end of the range that we saw. I think it's really finding the balance for your school and your school district and what's going to work. I think in some places, you know, a longer recess, I've seen it work great. In other places, I've seen, you know, a longer recess maybe not go as well. You know, like you said, kids kind of know they have a bunch of time and maybe they sit around, or maybe after 15, 20 minutes, recess breaks down and fights start happening. And so I think it's, you know, schools can look at their environment and their situation and think about, is a longer recess a good idea, or are multiple short recesses a better idea here? I do think that in a lot of places, if kids don't have enough time to get fully engaged, that can inhibit physical activity. And so if you know you only have 15 minutes and it's going to take 5-10 minutes to set up the soccer field and get a game going, you might not even give it a shot. And so I think it's context, it's understanding what works best for the schools.
You described yourself earlier as a play researcher, and I'm dying to know, how did you get into this field of research? What made you want to become a play researcher?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, I think it's just been a winding stream of following what I'm interested in and problems that I think are relevant.
Do you get to play a lot as a play researcher?
Not as much as you would like to. So, you know, I have to get my play in other places. But, you know, I think when we look at how important play is to child development, and, you know, more and more, we're finding that those social and emotional and executive function skills are important to academic readiness and ultimately academic success. And in early preschool ages, you know, we see a lot of evidence and a lot of interventions that use play to target building those skills in children. And I think oftentimes when kids get to elementary school and upper elementary school, certainly middle school and high school, that thought process goes away, that play is good for children and children need play. But I don't necessarily believe that that need goes away. I think we're wired for activity. I think we're wired to play. There are benefits to play throughout the lifespan. And so, you know, I've really just through a bit of my own winding path become an advocate for play across the lifespan because of the social, emotional, cognitive benefits it affords us.
That's William Massey. He's an assistant professor and play researcher at Oregon State University. William, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Meet us back here next week for more Living Lab Radio, or find us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.